أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله All praise is due to Allah سبحانه وتعالى We praise Him and we seek help from Him We ask forgiveness from Him We repent to Him and we seek refuge in Him from our own evils and our own bad deeds. Anyone who is guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indeed guided. And anyone who has been left astray will find no one to guide him. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the only one without any partner. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a sincere and genuine friend of all women. It was the Prophet who raised the status and position of women, bringing them to the social level of men and giving them the same civil and social rights as men. It was he who first of all gave women the right to exercise her will in marriage, disputes, reconciliations, separation and divorce. So that no decision could be taken regarding these matters without her consent. It was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who for the first time in history of man guaranteed a fixed share for a woman in the property of her father, husband, brothers, and sons. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam banned the custom of killing female children and enjoying good and kind treatment toward them in order to raise women's social prestige and honor. He made it obligatory for a man to pay his wife a dower in accordance with his own social position and financial resources. This was meant to build a personal asset for her and was also a gesture of goodwill on the part of the man, showing that he welcomes her as an honorable member of his family. She was in charge of the household and very soon became the queen of the household and head of the home government. This status of woman as an equal and honorable member of the household after leaving her parents' home was owed entirely to the noble and sublime teachings of the Quran and the exemplary conduct of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He created a new world for women, both in her parents' home and in the household of her husband. As a maiden, she was the light of her parents' eyes, and as a wife, the queen in her husband's household. Her status and status gained yet more dignity and honor as she became a mother and a grandmother, at which time her opinions prevailed over all other opinions in the household. All the credit for a woman's new status and honor goes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He initiated the establishment of women's rights 14 centuries ago. And now this concept of women's rights and status has become an established reality in almost all civilized and cultured countries of the world. Islam came at a time when the women all over the world were being oppressed and exploited. The most any society would accord the woman was to admit that she was part of a human race. They never admitted her dignity or gave her rights and responsibilities equal to those of men. The Greeks considered her to be an object of pleasure and amusement. This view was articulated in the text of Demosthenes. He said, "We take prostitutes for pleasure, lovers to care for our daily health, and wives to give us legitimate children." The Romans give the father and husband the right to sell her to whoever they pleased. The Arabs give the son the right to inherit the wife of his father, not his own mother, of course, just like he would inherit his father's wealth and his steed. That is, if she were lucky enough not to have been buried alive at birth. This was the case with the rest of the world societies, like the Persians and the Hindus. Women remained in this horrible state without protesting or rebelling against it. No one else was to do so either, nor were there any social or economic developments that would require a betterment of her. Then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, proclaiming her rights and her equality with men. He established for her all her rights to bring her out of the miserable state that she was in and elevate her to the noble status that she deserves. In Islam, There is absolutely no difference between men and women as far as their relationship to God is concerned, as both are promised the same reward for good conduct and the same punishment for evil conduct. The Quran says, and for women are rights over men, similar to those of men over women. The Quran, in addressing the believers, often uses the expression believe in men and women to emphasize the equality of men and women in regard to their respective duties, rights, virtues, and merits. In Surah Al-Ahzab, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَالْقَانِتِينَ وَالْقَانِتَاتِ وَالصَّادِقِينَ وَالصَّادِقَاتِ والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. Means, for Muslim men and women, for believing men and women, for devout men and women, for true men and women, for men and women who are patient and constant, for men and women who humble themselves, for men and women who give in charity, for men and women who fast, for men and women who guard their chastity, and for men and women who engage much in God's praise, for them has God prepared forgiveness and great reward. This clearly contradicts the assertion of some the Christian fathers that women do not possess souls and that they will exist as sexless beings in the next life. The Quran says that women have souls in exactly as the same way as the men and will enter paradise if they do good. Enter into paradise you and your wives with delight. Whoso does that which is right and believes, whether male or female, him or her will quicken to a happy life. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Islam diminished the excessive practices of Jahiliyyah by imposing new laws using the principle of gradualism. Islam granted women their dignity and allowed them to claim equal rights with men in all aspects and spheres of life. The Quran teaches Muslims that God created both men and women from the same soul. O mankind, reverence your guardian Lord who created you from a single person, created of like nature, his mate, and from them twain scattered like seeds, countless men and women. In the period of Nazarist Islam, women played prominent roles in all realms of life: religious, political, educational, legal, moral, economics, and military. A few examples will show what Islam accomplished in raising the educational level of women and will highlight Muslims' women's contributions to the growth of knowledge in Islamic society. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gradually but persistently allowed women to assume important positions in society. He designated his wife Aisha as a religious authority by stating, take half of your religion from this ruddy complex woman. Through the Prophet's encouragement, Aisha played a visible and active role in the political, legal, and scholastic activities of the Muslim community. The Prophet chose her as one of the people who would pass on knowledge of the Quran and his practices to later generations of Muslims. Aisha herself taught famous scholars about the Quran and Hadith. In addition, she narrated 2,210 Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And scholars have noted that 1/4 of the norms of Sharia laws were also narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha. In almost every respect, Aisha appears to have been not only one of the companions of the Prophet, but also an exceptional person. Other women played prominent roles in the growth of and the enrichment of Islamic civilization. Imam Nawawi stated that Umm al-Mu'mineen Hafsa was one of the intellectual and intelligent persons. He also spoke about the mother of Anas, Umm Sulaiman, as one of the learned and knowledgeable companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam Nawawi expressed a similar opinion about Umm Atiyah, saying she is reckoned among those of the companions who won excellence and honor and participated in jihad with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam Bukhari stated that Umm Darda sat in tashahud as a witness, as a man sits, and was a jurist, therefore her actions are authoritative. Islam did not prevent women from participating in armed revolutionary resistance or legal decision making. Zainab, Ali's daughter, was a revolutionary, and Umm Atiyah, Hafsa, Asma bint Abi Bakr, and Suhaila bint Suhail were all jurists. Women also participated in the bay'ah and thus were an integral part of the political process. In fact, through the bay'ah, they contributed later on to the election of the third Khalifa. In short, women were equal participants in the growth of the early Islamic state. The well-known sayings of Umar ibn al-Khattab, the second rightly guided Khalifa, demonstrated the change of the status of woman which had occurred with the advent of Islam. By Allah, we did not pay attention to women in Jahiliyyah until God said about them in the Quran what is said and give them their share in matters. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam died after 23 years, Islam only spread in Arabia. This religion of Islam was basically spread by 4 or 5 individuals who had the most in teaching. One of them was the Prophet's wife, Aisha radiallahu anha. She is among the most to have narrated his statements, and likewise, she is among the 3, 4, 5 who have mostly given religious pronouncements, who have given religious verdicts, explained what these verses in the Quran meant, or what the words of the Prophet meant. Look at any other civilization in the history of humanity. You will not find a woman playing a role in its establishment where it can be attributed to her efforts for its establishment. The Greeks, look at the philosopher Plato, Aristotle, and others, all were men. The early church fathers' writings were basically men. And until today, the idea of woman scholarship is limited in some areas of the church. The French writers at the French Revolution and Voltaire and the Russians were men. The founding fathers of the United States were men. And also other civilizations are basically based upon men. Islam is the only civilization which is known by humanity where a leading input in terms of its transmission and establishment was based upon the efforts of women. Islam establishes the principle of equality between men and women in all aspects of life that they are equal in, because both of them are equally human. it distinguishes between them in some areas, taking into consideration the natural differences between them and the special qualities that each of them has. The areas of equality are as follows: equality in their human origins. Islam conclusively establishes that all human beings have a common origin. This fact is mentioned in many verses of the Quran. O mankind, fear your Lord, who created you from a single soul, and created from it its mate, and brought forth from the two of them many men and women. O mankind, verily we created you from a male and a female, and made you into nations and tribes, so you may know one another. Verily, the most honorable of you with Allah are the most righteous. Equality in their destiny. Islam also establishes that all of mankind are going to return to Allah who created them, and everyone, male or female, is going to be recompensed for his or her worldly deeds. They will receive well if they did good, and they will be requited with evil if they did evil. Allah says, which translates as, and every one of you will come to him alone on the day of resurrection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, which translates as, a human being will have nothing except for what he does, and his deeds will be seen. Then he will be recompensed fully. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, which means, so their Lord accepted of them their supplication and answered them, I will never allow the work of any of you to be lost, male or female. You are from each other. Allah says, which translates as, whoever works righteousness as a believer, whether male or female, we will truly give a good life, and we shall pay them a reward in proportion to the best of what they used to do. According to the Quran, men and women are equal before God. Women are not blamed for violating the forbidden tree, nor is their suffering in the pregnancy and childbirth a punishment for that act. Islam sees a woman, whether single or married, as an individual in her own right, with the right to own and dispose of her property and earnings. A marital gift is given by the groom to the bride for her own personal use, and she may keep her own family name rather than adopting her husband's. Roles of men and women are complementary and collaborative. Rights and responsibilities of both sexes are equitable and balanced in their totality. In his farewell sermon, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared, O people, it is true that you have certain rights with regard to your woman, but they also have rights over you. Remember that you have taken them as your wives only under Allah's trust and with his permission. If they abide by your right, then to them belongs the right to be fed and clothed in kindness. Do treat your woman well and be kind to them, for they are your partners and committed helpers, and it is your right that they do not make friends with anyone of whom you do not approve, as will never to be unchaste. The best declaration for women's right is spelled out in the farewell speech of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He demanded that husbands should treat their wives with kindness and gentleness. Men are to know that their women are their partners. Islam recognized the duties and responsibilities of both partners, and hence emphasized that man is the head, while the woman is the heart of the family. Both are needed, and both are complementary to one another. The rights and duties of each spouse toward the other were declared and explained. Women enjoy certain privileges of which man is deprived. She is exempted from some religious duties such as prayers and fasting in her regular periods and at times of confinement. She is exempt from the financial liabilities as a mother. She enjoys more recognition and higher honor in the sight of God. The Prophet ﷺ acknowledged this honor when he declared that paradise is under the feet of the mothers. She is entitled to 3/4 of the son's love and kindness with 1/4 left for their father. As a wife, she is entitled to demand of her prospective husband a suitable dowry that will be her own. She is entitled to complete provision and total maintenance by the husband. She does not have to work or share with her husband the family's expenses. She is free to retain after marriage whatever she possessed before it, and the husband has no right whatsoever to any of her belongings. As a daughter or sister, she is entitled to security and provision by the father and brother respectively. That is her privilege if she wishes to work or be self-supporting and participate in handling the family responsibilities. She is quite free to do so, provided her integrity and honor are safeguarded. At a time when Islam is faced with hostile media coverage, particularly where the status of women in Islam is concerned, it may be quite surprising to learn that the majority of reverts to Islam are women. According to the Almanac Book of Facts, the population increased 137% within the past decade. Christianity increased 46%, while Islam increased 235%. In a recent poll in the US, more than 100,000 people per year in America alone are reverting to Islam. For every one male revert to Islam, 4 females revert to Islam. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. أدعو الله عسى أن تكون هذه ساعة إجابة. Supplicate, may Allah accept our supplication at this time. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Islam has immensely improved the status of women compared to the Judeo Christian traditions. The Quran has offered women dignity, justice, and protection which for long have remained out of their reach. That's why it is no surprise to find that most reverts to Islam today in a country like Britain and US are women. In the US, women reverts to Islam outnumbered men. The problem is that the majority of the population in the West do not know these facts. They easily believe the media's distorted image of Islam. What the Quran has given to women is unparalleled in the history of religions. Today, people think that women are liberated in the West and that the women's liberation movement began in the 20th century. Actually, the women's liberation movement was not begun by women, but was revealed by God to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the 7th century. For this, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam certainly deserves to be called the friend of women. اللهم اصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا واصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا واصلح لنا آخرتنا التي إليها معادنا واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا من كل خير والموت راحة لنا من كل شر. اللهم لا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا وبلغنا مما يرضيك آملنا واختم بالباقيات الصالحات أعمالنا. اللهم صل على محمد وبارك على نبينا وإمامنا وقدوتنا صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. قول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله.